Hello, welcome to Creative Writing Life Podcast. I'm Justin Sloan.
And I am Paul Zeidman. And Justin, I'm going to let you have the honor of introducing our two guests today.
Yeah, we have two wonderful guests, Amy Duboff and James Fox. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having us on.
All right. And I've known Amy kind of for a while now. I haven't met James in person, but I saw Amy at the Vegas 20 Books Conference this year, and she mentioned that they're doing this awesome movie, and I looked it up, and it looks cool. And for people who've been following me lately, they know I'm super into the crypto world for some reason. So the movie ties in completely to my life. But before we get there, Amy and James, we always do a what have you been watching or reading, whatever, before we kick off. So Paul and I will quickly say what we've been doing it, and you guys can think about if you've been reading a cool book you want to recommend or show or something like that. Sound good?
Cool.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Paul, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I've got one of each in terms of watching. I think it popped up on suggestions for on-demand movies, and it's called Black Friday. And the only reason I took notice of it is because Bruce Campbell has a role in it, and I really like Bruce Campbell's stuff. And it's a really clever horror comedy about alien monsters invade a toy store on the day after Thanksgiving. And you can draw your own conclusions from there. It was a lot of fun. It's probably only an hour and a half long, so definitely worth the time and the effort to make a watch. And I had picked up, I'm a big fan of like old pulp novels. So I picked up a collection of The Spider, an old pulp hero, and slowly working my way through that. And once again, dawns on me, these writers were paid by the word, and boy, does it show.
Awesome. I watched one that I wanted to remember, but I can't off the top of my head. It's the, what's her name? Kristen Bell or whatever. Yeah, I can't remember, but I'll say instead, because I can't remember. Me and my wife are always looking for sitcoms. Like I just finished Veep and whatnot. But so we always check them out, trying to find fun ones. We watched Awkwafina is Nora from Queens on HBO Max, and it's pretty fun. So pretty good. We might keep watching that one a little bit. And if people have recommendations for sitcoms, write in, because I need more. How about you guys? Amy, James? How about Amy first, since you're first on the screen?
All right. Well, I just finished Archive 81 a couple of days ago and enjoyed that quite a bit. And the one I did before that was Station 11 and also liked that quite a bit. I haven't read anything super recently, so it's been mostly shows for me.
Nice. How about you, James? Anything good?
Well, first, was the Kristen Bell thing the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window? Yeah, I love that title. I want to watch that just because the title is so amazing.
Yeah, it's really well done, too. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. I'm reading Best Served Cold by Joe Abercrombie. Big fan of Mr. Abercrombie. And what am I watching right now? Oh, I'm watching Ozark, latest season of Ozark. So, you know, lots of disembowelments in both mediums. So, yay.
There we go. So now that we've covered disembowelment, let's get some intros to you guys. So, we'll talk about the movie, but first, you guys want to give us each a 30-second version of who you are, Amy?
I am a author, first and foremost screenwriter more recently. I am a USA Today bestseller, Nebula nominated, and I write mostly space opera. Most of that work has been in the Catacle universe, but I also have some other things. I've dabbled in the Anne Fourkin universe as well as a Dark Stars trilogy.
Awesome. How about you, James? Who are you?
Who am I? God, it's such a loaded question. There's so many ways to answer that. I'm a filmmaker first and foremost. I'm kind of the mirror image of Amy, actually. I'm a filmmaker first and foremost, multi-award winning screenwriter, recently turned author, having a really good time with that, with my debut series, The Soul Saga. Been having a lot of fun in that space. But I'm addicted to filmmaking. I'm addicted to being on set. So when the opportunity comes up to be on set, I jump at it. And working on something that Amy has written is like the perfect confluence of talents, I feel like. So I've been very excited about crypto.
Nice. So let's go back a step. Are you the person who reached out to her originally a long time ago about doing a TV show, or is that somebody else?
That was probably me.
Okay. Yes. Amy? Yeah, okay. He would be the one.
Okay. Because I do remember that happening and like that discussion going on. And then, cool. So how did your relationship in this sense evolve into crypto? How did you go from that step to coming up with this idea?
That's a complicated one. Go for it, Amy. You got this.
Oh boy. Well, we became good work colleagues and friends via the Catacle adaptation. And I found myself actually moving out to live on James's ranch when the COVID lockdowns hit. I was living out of the country and happened to be back in the United States, and he graciously took in me and my husband. So while we were out here, we got to talking about other creative endeavors. And when we decided to put together a crypto mining rig, my husband tossed out the idea that there might be more to it than just crypto mining in itself. There might be other things going on, and kind of using crowdsourced computing power for other endeavors. And he and James ran with that idea for a bit and then looped me in. And that was how the story for crypto came together. And since James is an accomplished filmmaker and had a bunch of equipment sitting in storage, we said, well, hey, since you have all of this ready to go, why don't we put together a movie? And
really, that's cool.
How we got started.
Yeah, I like the concept. I assume you're familiar with, which movie am I going to say here? Do you guys know? No.
Enemy of the State.
No, I was going to say The Accountant. Are you familiar with the movie The Accountant?
I was close.
No? Oh, no. Man. The Ben Affleck one. Isn't that what it's called?
I've heard of it, but I don't think okay. I ever saw it.
So originally, from my understanding, I don't know if this is secret knowledge or not, but what I've heard through the grapevines is it started off where he's a character who's looking through accounting information and finds some secret type code things that link to assassinations that are being taken place by, you know, like the mafia or something. And then they come after him and he has to run and hide and stuff. And it evolved into John Wick, basically, which is completely not as cool in my mind as what it originally was supposed to be. But just looking at the trailer from your movie, it seems like it's kind of along those lines, or no?
Close. It's a little bit more sci-fi, I think. Less cool. Assassinations, more other equally spooky stuff.
Yes. Oh, nice. Well, that's cool. Now I'm a little more intrigued. I was already intrigued, but now I'm a little more intrigued because I'm a sci-fi fan first and foremost. And I'll let Paul jump in about the movie questions because he's more of the screenwriter of the two of us. But question about a simple one, the poster. I love the poster. I think it looks great. Do you guys have advice on how to make posters like that look so awesome, or any thoughts on how that came about?
It was James's concept. He basically sketched out exactly what he wanted it to be, and
then Amy expertly executed it. So
awesome! Hey, now that you mentioned the, I don't know if it's supernatural or sci-fi, or whatever element. Now I totally see that from the cover too, or from the poster. So interesting. I'm gonna have to watch it and then relook at the poster again and have some more comments.
So. Excellent.
We classify it as a sci-fi techno. It's mostly techno thriller, but it has some sci-fi elements that become more prominent as the story progresses.
Yeah, nice. I have a sitcom pilot that has some similarities, but obviously it will be quite different when and if I ever finish it. Paul, you want to jump in with some movie related / screenwriting stuff?
Yeah, sure. So, okay. So the two of you were on James's ranch. So how long did it take you to kind of come up with the story and then develop the actual script?
I believe that we had a working first draft in a week.
Wow.
And we spent some time beating it up. But I think in 2 weeks, we pretty much had a shooting script ready to go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the concept sat for a little bit longer than that. I want to say it was, last July-ish?
Yeah, we marinated on it for a while. But when we finally decided to pull the trigger, I think we had discussed it enough that it was a matter of execution at that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was somewhere between a week and 10 days of having a full draft.
So while you were writing it, were you putting it together with the idea that, okay, we're going to make this ourselves, so we're going to try and keep it as limited and contained as possible? Because I watched the trailer, and as far as I can tell, there's one actor in it, and that seems to be a majority of the focus. So were you able to really revolve a lot of the action around the main character, and did that help put the whole story together?
Yes. So when we started writing it, we really wanted to focus on one. I mean, at its core, we like to say that crypto is kind of a movie about mental health, because you spend the first half of the film trying to decide whether the main character is crazy or not. And we really wanted to kind of force perspective. We wanted to be with the main character throughout. So everything, if the main character doesn't see it, it's not in our film. Every scene was directed in a way that this is something that she sees, this is something that she feels, this is something she hears. There's nothing else outside of that. So it was a stylistic choice based on what we're doing with the actual film itself. And, you know, we're concerned for her mental health and well-being. And we're in her shoes throughout the ride. We strongly felt that if we broke that and went to, you know, the bad guys planning against her or whatever, now we've changed perspectives. So it was really kind of a intentional decision to force the audience like in the seat with the main character.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that, especially just getting that vibe from the trailer. And I think it really comes across quite nicely. And I'm always fascinated to hear about the actual production of a film. So I'm looking at the scenes that are in the trailer. So I can't help but ask, how long was the production and where did you film it? I know it was in Oakhurst, California, which is between Fresno and Yosemite, but is that a lot of your ranch? Is it the area? Did you go to the town and say, hey, we'd like to make this movie here. Can you help us out?
Yeah. I mean, I can speak to that real quick. And then Amy, you can jump in too, but yeah. So a bulk of the film is shot in and around my ranch, which is the future site of our production studios. This was technically the first film shot at Dawn on Our Sierra headquarters. So pretty excited about that. We shot in Oakhurst at the public library, and that was a ton of fun. They were so gracious and amazing to us. We even had to go back for reshoots pickups. So the total days in, I think, including B unit cinematography and some pickups, we got rained out 3 days that were supposed to be all of our exterior days. So we had to bring everybody back for a few more days. I think we're at 14 days total for production.
Yeah, no, and we'll need probably one more day to just do a couple exterior car things. That'll be really simple.
Okay, yeah, we have some drone stuff planned.
So yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Kind of waiting for weather.
I was under the impression the whole thing was completed. I didn't realize you still had a little bit more to go.
We're 99.9% there, and the like first pass edit is 99% there. So we did a synchronous edit, synchronous post production. So post production was working while we were filming, which was very exciting for me as the director, being able to like go. Not just watch dailies, but watch the scene that you shot that day was very empowering and slightly addictive. I feel really sorry for the next production I'm on. So, you know, we've been moving pretty fast with everything kind of happening at the same time, which has been pretty awesome.
Okay. So with all of that taken into account, when do you have a targeted release date?
We're hoping, and I'm not going to commit to this yet, but we're hoping that we are going to have a screener ready by end of the month. And now, that being said, there's some visual effects shots that are kind of, you know, a little bit intense as far as workflow goes. So we will have kind of a better idea when we get closer to the end of the month on that. But the hope is I'd like to see it released by summer, but again, there's lots of discussions that have to happen between that and, you know, the distribution partners or whatever have to weigh in on that. So it's not my call. We'll be ready. We'll be ready.
Let me hop in real quick. Because you're talking about release dates. Because it's crypto related, have you thought about, or is it too outside of the box to do something related to, I don't know, NFTs or other things like that on the promotion side of it?
I don't know anything about NFTs, so
nobody does.
I've been in a hole. I have no idea. So, Amy, I don't know if you want to jump in on that one.
I think that could be really cool. We've been so in the throes of the production and now post-production that I haven't really been able to think too much about the marketing side of it yet.
Yeah.
But I think that is a very intriguing concept that we could certainly explore.
Yeah, just like throwing out ideas that might not be good is like, I haven't seen many NFTs that actually have a feature film with them. And the idea that you're not launching until summer, how cool it would be to come out with like a collection of NFTs. It's a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but that revolve around this and then have some kind of countdown thing where members get almost like a Kickstarter, where when you buy an NFT, it's a ticket to getting super cool stuff like signed posters or digital posters mm-hmm. or other aspects of the film or whatnot. Just thinking out loud. I've been too much in this world lately. I can't escape it.
After this interview, let's have a side meeting where you can explain to us exactly what you're sure. thinking, and we'll try to execute that.
Yeah, we'll brainstorm awesome. A little more. It would be really cool. There's a lot of stuff going on in that world, and it's also new that there could be cool directions to go with it. But going back a step, so I just had a cool pitch, my first pitch ever with a studio, and it was very exciting and a lot of fun. So I want to ask if one of you feels like you're able to pitch us this movie right now. If not, no worries. I'll just ask you to tell us what it's about.
I'm going to let James take that one. He's the experienced pitcher of the two of us.
You're going to make me pitch blunt. Okay.
All right. The short version.
Oh, like you haven't done this before. Come on.
Okay. So our basic story here is it's a mental health movie about a burned out game developer who's fleeing city life and goes to the only place she feels safe, which is a grandfather's ranch that was left to her. And there she tries to heal. Unfortunately, as most things go, when you're trying to heal, the universe decides to dump a dark secret on top of her, and she wrestles with what to do with it. Dangers lurk around every corner, and everyone around her becomes endangered by what she's doing. And it all kind of comes to a head at the end where the true secret message is revealed.
Awesome. I'll jump in and say that one funny thing about this question that I asked you, why it doesn't totally work, is because like when you pitch, usually you'll want to give away a lot of the stuff that happens, right? Like you're trying to sell it to the studio execs. So you got to give information that you wouldn't want to right now give us as the audience. So good job.
Yeah. I stumbled on that a little bit. I'm like, how can I do this without spoiling the film? The way I would pitch this to studio would probably start with the ending, and then I'd work my way backwards.
Awesome.
It's a pretty significant portion of the story.
Yeah, it's probably what would sell that exec.
Cool. So your trick did not work on me.
Yeah. See, I told you he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that's great. Good job. Paul, did you want to jump back in?
I did. So I'm the non-knowledgeable person here about NFTs. Justin's all about it. So the question really is, as someone who doesn't really know that much about tech, I know the phrase algorithm, and I've heard of crypto mining, and I'm reading about the film. Is there a way for me to enjoy this without really knowing anything about what it's revolving around? Is there an explanation kind of scene where someone says, "Hey, what do you do?" and she explains it? Or is it going to be easily acceptable or understandable for a layman like me?
It's absolutely a story about the main character, Kara, first and foremost. Okay. So it's following her character journey more than it is about the tech. So yes, there are some important components that are in the work that she does, but I believe the way that we touch on those elements will make it so anyone who can follow any kind of sci-fi story is going to be able to follow this without any trouble. Your understanding and enjoyment of the movie is not reliant on understanding the underlying technology.
Well, that helps. That really helps.
Yeah, I would just add that the technology stuff there is texture. It's mm-hmm. Not at all. In fact, I think that Amy did a great job putting a lot of stuff, and she did a ton of research, by the way. Like, I do not want to diminish how much research she put into the crypto mining stuff. But it's there more as like an Easter egg and a nod than it is like, a dissertation on crypto mining.
That's good.
it very well, it's in terms of story, she just as easily could have found a message in a bottle on the beach and is decoding something there. It's the set dressing versus the but
So I'm not going to have to worry about trying to understand a lot of techno terms and trying to figure out, you know, what is that again? Or I'm not sure I understand what she's supposed to be doing. It's more about the character and what's going on around her rather than what her job is.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's like, I enjoy a good war film, but I never served in the military. That doesn't stop me from enjoying the war film.
Okay. Yeah, that helps.
Cool. So going into the storytelling of it all, how did you handle it? So Aim did a lot of research and outlining, and then James wrote it all, or did you do a little more back and forth?
No, Amy did the lion's share of the writing. I basically just swooped in to steal a little bit of credit at the end by rubbing my stink on it.
Hardly. It was very much a collaborative effort up front, especially with going through the outlining process and figuring out the main beats and how we wanted to craft the character. And yes, I ended up doing a lot of the actual writing of it, but the story was very much a collaborative effort. And James has some wonderful scenes that he wrote in it as well.
Awesome. Have you written screenplays before this one, Amy?
I have one complete screenplay that I wrote several years back, but never saw the light of day.
Okay.
Cool. So this was really my debut. That one was more just like a at school practice kind of thing than it was.
Which, you know, that actually just landed on me that your first official screenplay got produced.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little envious, actually. Like I'm yeah. Wow.
Yes. Sort of helps that I'm friends with the director.
Yeah.
And that you were pretty much confined to his house too.
Yeah, pretty much. I know where you live. You're gonna produce this for
so
me.
So if listeners want to learn how to get movies made, just go live with a director.
Yeah. The one that has owned a production company for 20 years and has enough production equipment to get a full production off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see something here.
What's the address of your ranch again?
Hard pass on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, James, tell us more about you. So you've done a few movies. I was looking at your IMDb. It looks impressive. Do you want to give us a little rundown of some of the other cool projects you've done?
Oh, I've done a lot of projects, and all of them have been fun and interesting in their own way. I'm a Gemini, so I get bored very, very easily. And being able to, like, you know, learn everything from like quantum physics to cryptocurrency to how to put on medieval armor has just been an absolute joy throughout my career. I gotta say, though, I'm really excited about my future projects. There are just so many really, really good projects on the horizon. And once the world decides to figure out exactly what's happening next, I am just thrilled to be attached to these other films that I'm directing and things that I've written that are getting some momentum. I'm just very lucky. I've had a really, really fun career. And I've gotten to kind of do it my own way, which has been awesome. So, and met some amazing people along the way, Amy included. So, yeah, I mean, no complaints here. You'll never hear me complain about my job. I love it.
Yeah. Do you have any hurdles that you can share from either this one or previous films? Like some kind of, I wouldn't call them horror stories, but, you know, be wary of pursuing this career type stories.
Well, so I tell everybody that if you want to work in the film industry, you got to be a little bit crazy. Yeah. The amount of dedication that the film industry demands is pretty intense. Horror stories, geez, like challenges. Let's call them challenges. I think every project has its own unique challenge. Like, you know, Crypto was very challenging in that our principal cinematography was 9 days. And the temperature was like in the like high 20s, low 30s throughout. We had a very small crew. I mean, there's a lot of really cool challenges that we had to face. And the only reason we were successful was because the incredible amount of talent that was on display from both the crew and the cast. The actor Michaela, she was just insanely good. A paragon of performance. She was able to switch gears faster than we were most of the time. So it was a it was just the pace was a challenge. But horror stories, fun ones. I actually suffocated on set once. The final shot of the film, the last thing that we were doing, it was a sci-fi film. I got into the spacesuit that the art department had put together. Turns out it was space worthy and AKA airtight. So I stood there under the lights for a little while and started seeing all these stars twinkling on the visor. I was like, ah, that must look really cool to camera. And then blacked out, just fell straight away onto the floor, and they had to cut the whole suit off of me. So yeah. And I jumped up and they were wanting to tear everything down. I was like, no, we got to get the last shot. What are you guys doing? Get back up behind camera. Let's go. So like I said, you gotta be a little bit crazy to be in this industry. But if you can mentally survive it, it's a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Amy? Any, what I like to do is the reason I love filming is because you get to learn, you know, so much from the process, from going from what you wrote to seeing what happens on the film and how it all changes. And then the final result, as final as it can be. Do you have any kind of observations from that or lessons you learned from seeing your screenplay produced?
Yeah, it was a really great experience. And I'm so happy that I was able early in my screenwriting career to be on set and see the filming process. Cause I think it'll make me much more cognizant as I'm structuring scenes in the future and what takes a different shot versus not. And of course that will depend on the director and the cinematographer, but I found because I also served as script supervisor on set. And so as I was going through and doing the line markup for the different takes and everything and the different shots and angles, I was finding that the way that some of the paragraph breaks were structured was maybe not actually how you would want to structure them just from a filming standpoint and having someone read through it, and the way that some of the scenes transitioned into each other and maybe where breaks should have been that weren't there, or where something should have been continuous, but it was written as two completely independent scenes. So it was really just a fascinating experience to go through and see it all come to life. And we did end up making some changes on the fly, and I think it all works great now. But awesome. Just having that experience, I know I'll be able to look at my next projects in with better eyes and have that eye toward what is actually on page versus what it's going to look like on camera.
Yeah, cool. Paul, do you have anything to close us out, wrap us up?
Yeah, actually, Amy just made a great point that I was thinking about while the conversation was going. So you said it was a really quick turnaround from developing the story to having a finished draft. What is the final result, or I guess what's even in the film? How does that compare to, I guess, the original idea, kind of like the first draft compared to the final draft? Is there a significant difference, or is it more or less the same, just a few changes here and there? I'm just because it's always fascinating to see what the end result is compared to when you start.
I think it's fairly similar. We changed around mostly the action sequences throughout the course of the filming and figuring out what we could and couldn't do. So we didn't know all of the specifics when we wrote the script of where we were going to be and how those sequences would flow into each other. So we did need to make some modifications, particularly there's a sequence involving some vehicles in the middle of the film. Mm-hmm. And at the time that I wrote it, I was thinking that perhaps we're going to be out on surface streets, but instead we ended up being just on backcountry dirt roads the whole time. So we needed to make adjustments to accommodate that change.
And I think you mentioned this before, were there any, as you said, on the fly type things, all of a sudden, oh, hey, this isn't going to work, we need to change this, or maybe one of you or someone had an idea, said, hey, how about if we did it this way? And you said, hey, that's perfect, let's try it that way. And it worked out better.
I'd like to jump in on this one real quick, if I could, Amy.
Sure, absolutely.
Because like, as the director, yes. I mean, that was basically how I approached every scene was, does this feel right? And I think that one of the things that Michaela did with Kara was she brought an intensity that I don't think Amy or I really thought of when we thought of Kara in this mm-hmm. in this script in the initial writing. But Michaela brought just this insane intensity to the character. So there were a lot of things that were written with kind of a more meek Kara in mind, that when we got to them, it was like, there's just no way she's coming from what she just did to this. We need to adjust. And she was also really, really good with like physically expressing emotions and lines. So we had a lot of lines in there that were kind of windows into what she was thinking and feeling that we found we didn't need, because Michaela was practically screaming those with her physical performance. So mm-hmm. There were a lot of little moments like that where it was just, you know, I'm thinking about Stunt Day, right? Like that big talk that we had where we were just like, she wouldn't do this anymore because this character is so much different. Michaela has modified this character with her performance in such a way that it has really grown the character, you know, caused growth that we didn't foresee. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing mm-hmm. to behold. And as a director, you know, my goal is to try to create a world that everybody gets to play in and, you know, experience growth throughout. So it was really fun for me to watch that happen, but it did cause some issues where we were like, I mean, we there were a couple scenes at the end that we changed. There were a couple in the middle that we changed. And I think all of those changes are for the better, though. I think that we took the bones and the foundation of the script and the story, and we really, through the cinematography, the location choice, the performance, and just sheer force of will, really breathed new life into it and let it evolve into something even better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like if you're talking about books and the character starts running off and doing something that you as the writer hadn't intended for them to do, but you're just following them along. It was very much like that, of just like, okay, we're in this and Michaela is Kara now. And what does she want to do in this situation, and making the adjustments to make sure that she had a chance to be true to herself.
She was really good with, you know, like feedback too, where if she felt like something was wrong, you know, she would be like, hey, you know, I'm having feelings about this scene. What would Kara do here? Because we just did this, and we'd have some great, you know, conversations about like the motivations for the different things, how those have changed or evolved throughout the course of filming. It was just really, frankly, it was just a really fun experience to kind of explore this character under the microscope. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Verbal tics and all of that. There was, when I wrote the script, just a specific example, I had her say like freaking as just a word that was inserted at various points. And Michaela was like, I don't think that is what she would be. And so we ended up making those modifications to dialogue to make it feel appropriate for the actress and the way that the character actually came together.
That's a great example, because Michaela was way too intense for freaking to work, right? Like I say freaking all the time, but whenever she said it as a character, it just kind of diminished the character. You know, it was like Kara wouldn't say freaking. She would either full send and say the real word, or she would just, you know, let it kind of happen physically. So it was very interesting. It was really, really, really good.
Yeah, and that was really the big thing for me as a screenwriter versus a novelist, as I had experience, where the characters are what they are on the page in a novel. But when you introduce having a living, very talented human being portraying that person, they put so much of themselves into that. And the character becomes more than just the lines that are written on the page like that.
And you think that as the script developed and then you went into production, that all of the little changes that occurred, especially during production, that it really helped contribute to make the end result really what you were going for in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That's awesome. Great.
Did, we are about at the end of our time. Did either of you want to close out with some, I don't know, words of wisdom to somebody out there thinking they want to get some movies made?
I'd say just work on If you're a writer, then write something that you're passionate about and have fun with. I say that regardless of the medium that you're working in, if you are passionate about it, then that passion will come through in the work that you create.
In a similar vein, I would recommend surrounding yourself with like-minded people that are also passionate. Filmmaking is not a single player game. I guess it can be at a certain point in your career, but it's really better. It's a better experience with a team. So put your team together and write some stories or go make some movies. I mean, most of us are walking around with 4K cameras in our pockets these days, right? So you get your friends together and start making movies. It doesn't matter what camera system you're using. It doesn't matter, you know, if you know what you're doing yet or not. I always contend that you learn more on set than you do from books or movies or tutorials or whatever. Those are all good and important, but get out there and start creating.
Awesome. There we go. All right. And, if you want to share, we'll put in the links, of course, but if you want to share some, like the link to the website/film.
Yes, absolutely. You can go to crypto-movie.com and we're on social media at crypto.thriller.
Great. And of course, people could find your books on Amazon and audiobooks, obviously, everywhere else, and Audible and whatnot. And so thank you again so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Yeah. And listeners, if you want to leave a review, go check out all their projects and ours, of course, too. That'd be awesome. And once again, we're the Creative Writing Life Podcast. I'm Justin Sloan.
And I'm Paul Zeidman. You can check out my screenwriting blog at MaximumZ.blog. I'm also on Twitter at Maximum_Z. As he just said, he's Justin. I'm Paul. This has been the Creative Writing Life Podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, go write something.